may be in your car, you may be on a train, you may be in a plane, but as you listen to this, you'll always be in the know. That's right, it's In the Know, the bi-monthly public knowledge update for July 14th, 2005. In this issue, we propose principles for open broadband. Congress takes a look at DTV options, and the details for the Orphan Works panel are released. Let's start with open broadband. PK's first major foray into telecom policy is starting to attract attention around Washington. On July 6th, we released the policy paper, Principles for an Open Broadband Future. The issue of how to make advanced technologies available to everybody has always been a part of the developing debate in Washington that will lead, eventually, to a rewrite of the 1996 Telecom Act. What changed the dynamic, though, was the Supreme Court's decision a couple weeks ago in what's called the Brand X case. That ruling upheld the FCC's decision to classify cable modem service as unregulated, meaning that cable doesn't have to open its network to competitors or be subject to any number of other regulatory requirements. The court's ruling clearly shows the need for Congress to act to make certain there is true competition to benefit consumers. We have five principles in our paper: that broadband networks must be 1. Open to competition from any entity, including municipalities. 2. Open to the attachment of any equipment the user chooses as long as it doesn't harm the technical operation of the network. 3. Open and accessible to consumers, application developers, and information service providers. 4. Open, available, and affordable to all consumers regardless of income, race, geographic location, or disability. And 5. Open to the maximally efficient number of licensed and unlicensed wireless providers. Now our job is to see if we can get those principles accepted and promoted by those who will shape telecom policy. That includes the FCC, commissioners and staff, senators, representatives and their staffs, and also those in industry and the nonprofit sectors. We're circulating our paper around town, and we're going to be in the middle of the policy debate. We know that not everyone will agree with everything we have to say, but we think there are considerable grounds for agreement among most of the major players. We've been getting a lot of good comments and expressions of support for what we're trying to do. Even if our language isn't the final language, it should be in the DNA, buried somewhere in the telecom legislation. Next, let's go to the Copyright Office, which finally released some details of the sessions July 26th and 27th here in Washington and August 2nd in Berkeley to talk about orphan works. Orphan works, you may recall, are those for which the copyright holder can't be found, which leads to a lot of legal confusion and uncertainty. There will be 4 topics at each one, 2 on each day in Washington, and they're all crammed into 1 day in Berkeley, so bring your coffee. For the morning of July 26th in Washington and at Berkeley, the first topic will be identification of orphan works. The Copyright Office wants to look at mechanisms involved with registering works, covering items such as the reasonable standard for searching for the creator. In the afternoon, in both places, the roundtable participants will look at consequences of orphan works designation, with topics such as whether there should be limits on legal remedies if an owner of what was thought to be an orphan work actually shows up. The other discussion items will be legal issues such as how to prove that a search has been reasonable, as well as international issues surrounding orphan works. The D.C. sessions will be in room 188 of the Russell Senate Office Building from 9 to 5, and the Berkeley one will be at 9 to 5 in a room to be determined in the Bald Hall School of Law at UC Berkeley. Don't forget to check our website for our take on the orphan works issues. Let's talk about DTV, digital TV. You may have read about the hearing on July 12th at the Senate Commerce Committee. Most of the stories made note of the fact that the National Association of Broadcasters finally came out in favor of a transition date around the end of 2008 to make the switch from analog TV to digital TV. Somewhere around that time, the broadcasters would shut off the TV service they're providing now and return the spectrum to the government, which will be distributed to public safety agencies and put up for auction. At that point, the broadcasters would start putting out a digital signal only in a different spectrum band. At PK, we're for a hard date transition, in large part because it would free up spectrum for new broadband services as well as for public safety. Now, it is true that NAB, the broadcasters, altered their position from absolute opposition to the hard changeover, but there is some fine print involved. And even though Commerce Committee Chairman Ted Stevens said he's for the hard date also, not everyone on his committee is on board. The hearing was a reminder that there are many issues to be worked out before the hard day transition can be a reality. The issue that has attracted the most attention is how those with over-the-air TVs who receive an analog signal now will be able to receive digital signals. The general manager of the Telemundo station in LA noted that 43% of his audience gets its signal over the air. At the hearing, there was no agreement among the witnesses about how many TV sets are out there that would need a converter box, much less what it would cost and how they'd be distributed. In addition, there are those pesky broadcasting industry conflicts that have been going on for years that will just get worse with digital. Chief among them is what's called must-carry. Cable systems are required by law to carry any broadcast station that requests it, even at the expense of a popular cable-only channel. Broadcasters want all of their signals to be carried in the digital world, so that if a station starts, say, three new digital channels, the broadcasters want them carried. The cable industry says no, saying it doesn't have the capacity to carry all those new channels and still have room for broadband, internet telephony, and other services. And the DirecTV representative testifying said forget about it for satellite. They just can't carry all the local digital signals without jeopardizing what they're already doing. As far as the senators on the committee, they sort of backed the concept of the hard date, but as Senator Sununu from New Hampshire said, there's little agreement beyond that. Senator McCain wants the spectrum back to be used for emergency agencies. Senator Allen from Virginia wants the spectrum back to be used for wireless broadband. Senators Burns and Vitter and Snow said they were concerned about preserving free over-the-air TV and making certain rural sets aren't shut off. There will be a substantial exercise in refereeing that will be needed before these issues are resolved. And here at PK, we'll work with the industry and our nonprofit partners to bring the analog TV era to a, relatively speaking, near-term end. Again, check our website. We have lots of stuff on the digital transition. There are also some good news stories on it at news.com, and you might check the LA Times. And one final note for today. You have until August 1st to submit nominations for the 2003 IP3 Awards. Read all about it at our website. We're looking for good nominees. The awards will be given out in a ceremony here in Washington at the end of September. And if you're looking for more than one of these in August, well, you'll be disappointed. We're only doing one in the know for August. Have a nice time for the summer. This is Art Brodsky for Public Knowledge.